We pray together today for all the things that are upon our hearts this day in our nation's life, and the things that are in our community and our households and our individual life. We offer it all to God. There'll be a time in the prayer where you may name a name or say a concern or a joy, a thing for which you're thankful. Remember today, as we pray, Don Haley, Karen Schumann's brother. He had surgery and is recuperating and needs our prayers. Remember members of our band, Craig and David and Gracie, who are helping with an Emmaus Walk spiritual growth retreat today. Out leading that. Remember the family of Mildred Jones, Chris Jones' aunt, and Miss Williams' dad. And invite you to name others in a moment. Let's pray together. Lord of life, God of mercy, you whose ways are beyond our ways, but you who we know are love. Lord, hear the prayers of your people on this day. We come with sorrowful memories of fears, of a deep need for your help for our nation and for all the peoples of the world. We need your strength that's beyond our own strength, and your wisdom that's beyond our own wisdom. So, Lord, we simply pray for our nation and for our leaders and for the leaders of all the world. We give thanks to those who respond when there is emergency, for firefighters, for police officers, for medical personnel, for all who help. Lord, hear the prayers we offer just now. Who hears prayers, hear the ones we speak with our lips and the sighs of our heart. We pray for those whose work is hard and for those who seek work. We pray this day for those who live in poverty that grinds them down, for parents who cannot do what they would for their children. And we pray for children who worry for their parents. Lord, for all in hospitals and facing rehabilitations and recoveries, we pray your strength. For those who wrestle with addictions, we pray your courage. Lord, for all who seek to heal and help, increase their power, increase the number. And Lord, help us as your people to serve, to love, to share. All of this because we trust in Jesus Christ, who came and died and was raised for us, the one who taught us to pray and to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture today comes from the 30th Psalm. You know, the book of Psalms is the prayers that Jesus would have learned as a child. That would have been the songs he sang when he went to synagogue. Psalms would have been the prayers he would use several times a day, probably, as he prayed. And in several months, his synagogue would work their way through all of these prayers. So they were deeply embedded in his life. They were the language of his prayers. I'd like to read Psalm 30. It's a psalm which was written, we think, in a time when the people of Israel had experienced great tragedy and grief. They had been through difficulties, and yet they found these words. That they even talk about it as going down to the pit, or Sheol, which was the place of death. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You've taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, deliver us. Give us your word that brings life and health and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the 10-year anniversary of the terrorist attacks on our nation, I was trying to figure out what sermon I needed to hear. What sermon I needed to hear. Most of the time when I write sermons, I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to myself. We preachers are preaching to ourselves first, probably. Trying to remind ourselves of what we need to hear again and remember about God. I probably need to hear today a sermon on Matthew 7:21. That's that verse where Jesus is talking and he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. I need to hear that sermon because I am a religious person. I am a religious leader. I am a religious teacher. And you know those people who attacked our nation were religious? They were. They were quite convinced that they had God's endorsement for what they did. But they were certain that they were helping God. That they were sure that God was on their side. President George Bush at the time reminded us that the people who did this, they're not representatives of their religion, of Islam. Or as someone around here said, you know, those people are no more representative of Islam than the Ku Klux Klan is of Christianity. So as a religious leader, a guy who says, Lord, Lord, a lot of times, I need to frequently hear a sermon that reminds me about how people of all faiths and all religious stripes can remake God in our image. Mark Twain said, God made us in our image and we've been returning the favor ever since. Yeah. So what we do is we use our religion to convince ourselves that You know, God hates who we hate. And we use our religion to divide up the world into categories of good and evil. Worthy and unworthy. Deserving, undeserving. Saved and lost. And then, if you've divided up the world like that, well, you can do whatever you want to those who are on the other side. And you know, sad to say, read the history, we Christians are not immune from that. We have done plenty of that in Christian history. Go read about the Crusades. So I need to hear a sermon every so often that tells me, just because I say Lord, Lord, just because I'm religious, I am not necessarily doing the will of God in heaven. I need to hear and do humility and honesty. I need to learn to confess my own sins. I need to be sure that my religion is adding to the volume and quantity of love in this world and not something else. And rather than assuring myself that God's on my side, I need to continually be asking, am I on God's side? You know, I could also profit from hearing a sermon on John 15:13. That's that verse where Jesus is talking and he says, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. On that day, 10 years ago, there were these terrorists who gave their lives to take away the lives of others. They wanted to take as many with them as they could. But there has been a lot of that, sad to say, in the history books. But what is astonishing, what is noteworthy, is that there were those there that day who gave their lives to save the lives of others. And we enter into some holy territory when we begin to remember these people who sacrificed for others on that day. We are awed and we are humbled by the first responders, by the people who ran into the burning buildings when other people were trying to get out. But the firefighters, the police officers, the medical personnel, ordinary secretaries, custodians, people on the street, bystanders, passengers on Flight 93 over Pennsylvania, workers in the Pentagon, people who that day showed amazing bravery. But they looked out for others before they looked out for themselves. In many cases, they gave their own life so that others would live. To meditate on that is to enter into holy territory, God territory. To meditate on the communion of saints, because we Christians believe that what makes God distinctive, the distinctive attribute of God, is not that God demands us to sacrifice ourselves, but that in Jesus, God laid aside His life for us. God set aside His life to save our life. And on that day, 10 years ago, there were many, many who imitated God. They loved as God loved. That's the verse our kids read this morning. That's the verse that's in the sanctuary in the stained glass window. To love as we have been loved by God. There were these people who loved others more than themselves. I need to hear that sermon over and over. And I probably also need to hear a sermon based on Matthew 5:44-45. That's when Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, that has to be the most perplexing and unsettling thing that Jesus said. Why would Jesus tell me to pray for those who, my enemies, for those who do evil to me, for those who persecute me? You know, I used to think that that verse about me praying for my enemies was intended for the benefit of my enemies, to pray that they would be converted to see the light. But as I get older, I see that admonition is for my benefit. It's for my benefit that Jesus says it. Because, you know, when others do evil to me, it not only hurts me in the short run, but it has the power to infect me with a virus of evil for years to come that I could even transmit to generations yet unborn. When evil is done to me, it can become a festering infection that keeps poisoning my life. It can release toxins into my life forever as I can do nothing but hate or resent or fear. It's one kind of tragedy, a bad tragedy if people do evil to me, but it becomes a double and triple tragedy if I become a carrier of that evil and I pass it on to others. So Jesus said the best antidote for evil done to you, for the poison of evil, is prayer. Prayer for the enemy neutralizes the venom that others have injected into my bloodstream. Prayer for the enemy helps me fight off the infection that can set up in my heart. It goes straight to the heart, that infection. Prayer for the enemy helps evil from going viral. So I need to hear that sermon again. And again, for the health of my soul. But I guess the sermon I need to hear most on 911. And on every other day when I feel burdened, overwhelmed with grief, surrounded by evil, threatened. That would be a psalm based on the psalm that you heard me read. Psalm 30, one Jesus would have used and known. That though we may go down to the pit, God raises us up. The Lord turns our grieving, our mourning, into dancing. The Lord takes off our garments of sadness and He turns them into joy. And that line, though weeping may linger for the night, joy comes with the morning. You know, that psalm describes Jesus' life, what Jesus lived and what He was. In John 13, Jesus, the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of John, Jesus is there in the upper room. He's about to die in just a few hours. The darkness is closing in. The disciples are nearly panicking. And it is oppressive, sad, and an awful, awful moment. And Jesus says, has been teaching to them. And He says, I'm teaching you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The overwhelming message of the Scriptures and the promise of Jesus that I need to hear today is that death and evil do not have the last word. The final chapter is resurrection. The things I need to hear today is the story of Jesus, who was Himself the victim of harsh violence. Jesus, you know, one of the creeds we say, one of the historic creeds of the church say, Jesus went through hell. I mean, that's what it said. Jesus died, yet He was raised to life. I need to hear that sermon today that reminds me that though our world is filled with crucifixions still, that happen to us, big ones and small ones, and humiliations, great ones and small daily ones. The last word is resurrection. Though we must remember today that though there are the dark Friday afternoons, God is bringing an Easter morning. What we remember today is the words of that old hymn, though the wrong is off so strong, God is the ruler yet. What we need to remember and trust and count on is other ancient words, though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. And in God's time, the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. That's the promise. And God keeps His promise. What we remember on this day of remembrance is not what others did to us, but what God does for us. How God raises us up as on eagle's wings. That's what the Scriptures say. How we in our lifetime will testify to all the ways that God has led us through. About how through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. We We sing about those. I don't know about you, but the sermon I need to hear is about the word that's on nearly every second or third page of the Bible. Do not fear. Fear not. Do not be afraid. It's there again and again. The voice that says, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Your name is written on the palms of my hands. I'm not going to forget you. Do not be afraid. Because I live, you will live also, Jesus says. Do not be afraid, he says. I will wipe away all tears. That's the sermon I need. Because that's true. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, give us the confidence of Jesus that though we die, yet shall we live. And though adversity is strong, your love is stronger. And that in your mercy and your love, there will be healing of our hearts and healings of our lives, even the healing of the nations that you promise. Oh Lord, help us by our love to be people who hasten that day that you have promised and that you will bring in. Help us to be those who stand with you, who are known by the quality of our love, the character of our courage and our sacrifice, and even the way we learn to forgive. All this we ask with confidence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord and serve Him. Know that there is one who goes with us to give us strength beyond our own, to give us life, who lifts our burdens and gives us bright resurrections. Go in the name of this one who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.